One. You're listening to DreamPath on DBS Radio, DBS Late Night Talk Radio, and this is your host, DJ, and welcome, all listeners. You were just listening to the song, The Opening, on our CD, Authentic, The Opening, and welcome to everybody. We have a wonderful show tonight. We have a guest who is truly a person of the heart, of the spirit. His name is David Aubrey Berger, and we'll be introducing him as we get into the show. He's written a book called The Power of the Circle. And I'm not sure when I first met David, but I certainly know him best from the Alela festivals. Alela was it always happened in June, and I think I attended the second event of the year in the year 2001. And I'll be talking to David about that, about his work, and about his book. It is amazing what the power of thought can do. I was just thinking about an event in my life when I had to give a talk to a number of people. And at that time, we had teachers who were giving us spiritual teachings and so on. And I decided that I was going to give a talk on Gurdjieff and Uspensky. And my teachers before me had created these events. Actually, I helped to create them as well. And by the time it got to me, I was the last up on the list. The place was packed. It could hold about 30 people. And we must have had about 40. And when I began my talk about this subject, I had all my notes in front of me, and I was very, very nervous. And I began my talk. I was about 15 minutes into it, and I knew that I was losing my audience. And so at one point, I put down the notes, and I began to speak from my heart. And it was exactly at that moment that my friends and fellow students had gone down to the basement of that house, and they began to tone and chant and say prayers to give me energy. And that's exactly the moment when I put down my notes. And I really don't recall what I said, but I was speaking from my heart. And when it was finished, everyone in the room was listening. And I had so many people coming up to me telling me what a wonderful talk it was. And really, what that was, it really wasn't about me. It was is more about the energy and what we can do for each other. When we think good thoughts, when we say prayers, when we tone, when we do any of these practices with a true heart's feeling, it is amazing the miracles that it can do. And David is no stranger to this. He works with young people, older people. He works in groups with schools, and he demonstrates by allowing others to actually experience what the teaching is. And that is the way that is actually held, so that it is remembered. And David has some wonderful stories about this as well. Before I bring David on, I'd just like to give you a bit of background as I clear my throat. Now, David is the author of The Power of the Circle. It's come out recently. He had an opening, I think it was last month. And David Aubrey Berger, M-E-S, lives in Toronto, and spends as much time as he can playing with his children, family, and friends. He's also the executive director of Living Education Institute, co-founder of the Toronto Independent High School, as well as the director and co-creator of the annual Alela Festival of Expressive and Healing Arts. He's also he also teaches drumming and drum making at the Halliburton School of the Arts. He lectures widely and loves to work with groups, companies, schools, and individuals facilitating their potential. At the root of all his work, he has one goal, and this is to bring earth-based wisdom and the sense of our indigenous. That is the spring word here. This happens through interconnection, which and ceremony, celebration, personal reflection, and meditation. It is a shamanic path that is personal and yet longs to be told and to be shared. The Living Education Institute is a nonprofit organization founded in the fall of 2000. It offers teacher training, personal development, and other courses and workshops to facilitate a culture of inspiration, potential, and possibility. David spent the first summer of life on a lake in the Canadian woods, and the great Canadian wilderness has been a significant factor in his thinking and his being. David, if you're there, welcome to the show.
David?
Well, aha, very good. Well, we'll still wait for David to come online with us.
Yes, hold on.
And we will continue with our show. Now, the power of the circle is a wonderful example, is a wonderful publication about how we as individuals can develop who we truly are. And when we're born and when we're children, we innately know what to do. When we play our games, when we laugh and frolic around. There may even be a little fight or a squabble, but it's soon forgotten, and we start to play again. And as adults, quite often we forget that playfulness and how to have fun. And David also taught at a University of York. And he began to notice, while he was teaching, what really worked, what really communicated to his students. And so he used that as the basis of his teaching. And one of the things that David did when he was teaching a class
here to talk about
in ceremony,
circle. And
toning,
unbelievable interconnectedness,
and any of these things,
everything
he
else.
He asked the class
a little
if
planet,
it would be okay.
The one little glitch
to actually do this practice before the class.
And human social reality.
And students all agreed.
Human,
and he said, you know, you're free. If you don't want to do this, you can actually leave the class.
In some way that they're
and
not part
one
of the
students
disconnected from
in
all
5 years. Ever left the
fairly
class.
Old native story that says that all
and
of all
fact,
the animals
I believe it was one of the students who
loneliness.
Came up to him
and
afterwards and he said, bless you, you know,
because
that class you gave us inspired my whole life. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for that class. I'm afraid to think about that.
It creates a situation
and what stayed with me was the experience of actually doing
animals
it.
And trees and rocks and,
the thing is that as each person that experiences
humans,
this kind
above
of
or outside of or
education,
all those other things,
it stays
and
with
the other
them
glitch in the system seems
because
to
it actually was something that was personal to them. It was an expression from themselves.
Ego only lives in the past and the future.
And when you express yourself,
present,
when you truly express yourself,
just the way
when you are, when you allow
but
yourself
in the past is
to express
all
yourself,
the glories and
you remember,
successes of the ego, and in the future is all the
and
future
stays
successes
with you
of the ego.
And this is a
so
big basis of David's teachings. Now,
along
of course,
with that,
I hope to get David on the line.
Hey, there you are.
Talk about this even further. I met David, I think it was because he was actually offering a course in how to make
drums. I think David's on the line. David, are you there?
I'm here.
Can you guys hear me? Now, again, there this thing... I'm figuring it out. You're the first one with the new boards. So
you got everyone else seems very quiet to me.
Okay, yeah, and you seem sort of quiet to me as well.
Hold on, it's okay. I can pick that up. How's that?
Better?
A little better.
Okay. Hi, David.
Ah, there you are.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Could be a little better, but we're getting there.
How's that?
Are we live on air as we speak?
Yes.
That's David.
Hello, Dennis.
Welcome to DreamPath.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you here as well. I began to talk about how you actually did your teaching work at York University and how you began your classes and how you got your students to actually experience what the teaching was rather than being talked at.
Oh, yeah. Well, the most amazing thing that I found when teaching at York was that often you think that students, you know, you always hear the CAs and the profs saying, oh, students, they just don't want to learn anything. But what I found
yeah.
is when you actually perceive and walk in with the expectation or the belief that they do want to learn something, they'll meet you. You know, as far as you go, they'll meet you. Because it seems that they're all looking for, you know, where are the real things going on? And sometimes, and the intellectual, in most classes, the only real thing going on is the intellectual. So if you challenge them and do something different, and, you know, so I used to start classes with passing out flowers or reading children's stories or playing my drum. And students, you know, kind of says to them, hey, there's something different here. And they really thrive on that. And that's a good way to set the tone for everything else that comes after that.
Yeah, and now you've got a wonderful book that gives the description of...
Excellent.
All right, we'll keep on going. David, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little distant, but I can hear you.
Okay, I got it right up. The Power of the Circle is a book that you've written recently of... your wonderful wife, Darinka.
Thank you.
I can tell from reading it that you've drawn from the experiences in your life from early stages in your life right up until the present time. Is that true?
Totally. Well, what I realized is in the process of writing it is that how important it is to bring together both the theoretical and the personal. And the book was really, I think the most, I'm proudest not only of its content, but of its style. And I've always, in all my classes and the other things that I do, I often think the style is more of the content than the actual content. And
yeah.
So the book's style is it starts out kind of my story of how I went to school. And then at the same time as telling my story, I reflect on kind of the larger scope of all of our stories and how the educational realities have played out in the last couple thousand years. And kind of weave those couple thousand years of theoretical ideas with my own personal upbringing and my own educational experience. And then the book continues to kind of go between the theoretical ideas that I was thinking and then my own stories related to those ideas.
Now, you have workshops for people who would like to actually experience various ways of actually getting in contact with who they are, and also how to work, especially if you're a teacher, if any walk of life where you're presenting to people, bringing ideas forward. And your workshops I understand you have a coupon in your book where people can actually clip it out if they get your book, The Power of the Circle, and attend one of these workshops. Is that correct?
It's the workshops, to a large extent, came out of my teaching at York. When I left York University, I kind of sat back and thought, okay, so what is everyone not, like, what could the educational system offer that it doesn't? And so I designed this workshop, which I originally called Transitions, to kind of be that information between what have I always wanted to know and never really thought to ask. So in one extent to challenge people, and the other on the other side to give them the opportunity to think through the different ways of perceiving things and understanding things that there are, which there aren't that many. I mean, you can categorize them pretty easily into intellectual, emotional, spiritual, and physical as the four basic fundamental ways that humans perceive things. But even once you say that, it's so important to recognize and to point out that each one of us has our own myriad ways of perceiving things, which is going to be so different from the next person. And so the workshops are really for individuals either that have finished high school or just kind of thinking about getting on to the next stage of life. And although I originally designed it for students finishing high school, what I found pretty soon was that a lot of the people that came were mid-career adults who said, gee, I've never thought through those things either. So they appeared to look through those different ways of perceiving things and understanding things. Coming from that, I kind of sat a little further back and thought, okay, what are the ways of teaching that are fundamental to this way of facilitating that could help anyone who's either leading a group or just leading and figuring out their own life, which is basically what the book is. The book's kind of a mix of the ideas for teachers, but also at the same time, it's ideas that individuals can use to think about those different parts of ways of understanding things.
That's very interesting. David, because of the technology that's happening right now, if you can speak as loud as you can into your phone, it will help me as well. One of the things that I really intrigued me was the talking sticks and talking circles. And I remember reading in your book about I remember reading about a group or of kids who you had, or maybe it was young adults. Well, it was from another country, I believe it was.
They were
and,
from Cambodia.
You began the class by giving them the talking stick and having them pass around and saying something about themselves, and that at first a number of them wouldn't do anything. And the second time around, a few more did. And the third time around, even more did and really began to present themselves. And by the fifth time around, it became a part of what you were doing. I love that. It really opened it up for this group.
You know, I think more than the information that they got, what I saw was the gift of the moment that they started to notice after a while that they were actually presented with the opportunity for other people to hear them. And I think that's something that's so rare in a group that happens, that a whole group of people give one person the attention to say, okay, you're on. If you don't want to say anything, we'll still listen to you or watch you.
Yeah.
And if you do want to say something, great, that'll even be even better. And I know from experience and with other groups that given over a longer period of time, this is only an hour, but over like weeks and months or years, you know, the depth that individuals can get to is phenomenal. And we're only now, I don't even think we're yet now, tapping into it or starting to recognize, you know, that people really do want to be present and say what they're experiencing. But that is definitely one of the things that I'm, you know, putting
out. Yeah, I've been to a number of circles at different times in my life. And, again, when that talking stick is passed around, I mean, quite often in that circle when I'm there, there'll be individuals who have never done it before. And yet, when the talking stick comes to them, they do say something, and they realize that the others are doing exactly the same thing as them, in the sense that it's okay to say what you really feel like you'd like to say at that moment. And everybody is in acceptance of it, and with that acceptance, even more can come out, and more and more as it progresses.
Well,
I think you're right. I mean, people really do want to express that part of themselves, and that's a big part of your teaching and your work with others.
When I was at a Rainbow gathering a number of years ago, and I went to the closing council, or at least the beginning of the closing council, and when I was there, someone mentioned that their closing council, where they pass the stick around, can last for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Two or three days. Right. Before we go on, because of, you know, different things that were happening, I'm talking with you from what we call north here in Toronto, northern Ontario, but really it's still part of southern Ontario, at a place called Halls Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it's beautiful there. I know I've been to, you know, that part of the country. And from talking with your host, Elaine, she mentioned that to me earlier on today that this is a circular lake and is reputed to be the deepest lake in North America, and that there's some really interesting stories about that lake in itself.
Yeah, it's you know, I've known this area of the world ever since I was a month old, because I was up here when I was a month old, because my dad was running a camp near here. And I've always known of the kind of mystery of Halls Lake, and this is only about the second time that I've actually slept on its shores. And it's one of the only lakes around that still has original stock of rainbow trout, because all the other lakes have rainbow trout that are brought in from other places. And there were settlers here. I mean, the white settlers about 150 years ago.
Well, and you're fading right
out. He told me the story of a woman
Hello,
that had gone canoeing on the lake and had disappeared, and when they came to look for her a little while later, they found a couple horses that had fallen through the ice like over 100 years ago at the bottom.
Yeah.
And because the lake is so deep, it'll preserve things incredibly well.
This all started with a search for a lady who went out in a canoe and disappeared, and the RCMP, which is, I guess, our national police force here in Canada, went looking for her and couldn't find her, but instead they found the horses.
Right. Yeah. And people had known about those horses, and some of the old-timers had said, oh, yeah, we remember a story about horses from way back when we were kids. And sure enough, there they were, down at the bottom.
Well, one of the granddaughters, whose grandfather actually saw the horses go into the lake.
Wow.
I mean, he was a witness to it.
Yeah.
And this is how the story went, I think. But they actually did find them, so it's true.
Yeah. And, you know, Dennis, the thing that I've always appreciated about your work is the commitment to the being in the moment and the inspirational reality of getting people to be in the moment and to do what they feel from there, which I think is also a very important part of circle work, getting people to, because the circle is about the whole thing, to be in the present. And when you're in the present, there's a lot of possibilities that don't exist, or that come into existence that wouldn't otherwise exist.
Well, you know, that's what I found about the Alela Festival. Now, you and your wife, Darinka, organized this back in, what, the year 2000?
First one was 1998,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's much better now, Jarrah.
It's getting better.
And the Alela Festival is a wonderful place to be, to experience the now. To that's what I found.
Yeah.
To not try and do anything, but just to be and allow things to open up and miracles. I mean, in the sense that. Mm-hmm. And in the world of everyday living, so many times we attempt to do this and we work really hard on that and we don't allow the flow to happen. And what I noticed with the Alela Festival is that, and you had many other people with practices, workshops, all kinds of things, but everything kind of just worked together in a wonderful, magical way because of the energy that was there.
Yeah, you know, and it actually took us years to figure out and to become comfortable with the structure that is that festival, and it started with our wedding, which was kind of the first event like thing that we organized. And the Alela was the year after our wedding, the first Alela, and to me, what the great gift of that festival has been is that everyone comes together at the beginning to participate in a ceremony where the basic goal is just people agreeing to be present with each other for the next 2 days. And then everything that flows out of that coming together in the beginning can be magical and can be unexpected. But it's within that context of people that have come together, spent some somewhat organized but somewhat intuitive and creative time together, and have like looked at each other and generally in a small enough group, I mean we're talking about 100-150, so that you can actually get a sense for who the other people are in the circle. And it's continued to be beautiful and magical because people come with that openness to trying new things, to doing things from how they feel rather than from what they think they're supposed to do. And
well, you know, and talk about, you know, doing things in the moment. I remember one Alela that, and it was raining, it was pouring, it was wet, it was, miserable. And I remember getting up. I had to give a class called The Sound of Creation. And normally, you know, we get up at around 7 o'clock and have a little something to eat. And then some of the workshops begin. Well, I didn't wake up till 5 to 9. I dashed over, had two sips of coffee, realized my class was on, and I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I ran over to the hall, and there were, 15 people waiting for the workshop. And I thought, my God, everyone's here. This is great. This is wonderful. Okay, let's begin this. And I started it off by telling everybody that what we were going to do this morning was to clear the rain, clear the skies, and bring through the sunshine.
Hmm.
And we started off with some toning and chanting and various other things. And as we were going, the rain stopped.
Hmm.
As we were going, the sun started coming through.
Right.
As we were going, it just brightened up, and everyone was just laughing, and we were just having a most, wonderful time. Class ended. I didn't even have my coffee or whatever it was. I felt great. Now, the interesting thing is, I understand that at the end of it, because it's a weekend, at the end of the weekend, when we went back to our homes, it was my understanding that it was raining and cloudy everywhere except for this one spot where we were.
Yeah.
So things like that always amaze me.
And that similar story happened
a few times. It was for me.
That was the one. I remember that one in Halliburton. I remember you going in there with just kind of with a smile, and then afterwards, when you said, "Yeah, we wanted sunshine, so hey, look what we got." And I remember there was another one, Perry Sound, where we had this whole weekend of clouds off in the distance, a few little sprinkles once in a while, some sunshine, same exact story. We got back at the end of it, and since everyone in Toronto would say, "Oh, it was, too bad, it was such a rainy weekend," we're like, "What are you talking about? There's hardly any."
exactly, and. I wasn't aware. I thought, it's cleared up all over. We cleared out the whole, province, but no. So that was fun. The other thing is that the healings that happen there are many. And there's a wonderful time at Alela where everybody gets together. And because there's a very large space, enclosed space, but usually very large, so that people can do their performances. And some people can practice a little bit beforehand, and some people do it very, very spontaneously, not knowing what they're going to do for the entertainment that night. But almost every single time, and I've been to, I think it's 6 Alelas, the entertainment, the spontaneity, the expression, the dancing, the singing is, better than a live, someone who's prepared for weeks. And it's usually a day or two into a Layla so that everybody's, in a sense, attuned to themselves and they're trusting of other individuals around them and they're interacting and interplaying. And by the time it comes to entertainment night, it's a total celebration. How did you think of, how did this whole idea of Alela come to you? If we can sort of backtrack a bit. And I know it comes from your teaching and your work in the past, but what's, actually sprung this into life?
Well, actually, when it came, we didn't call it Alela. We called it the Expressive and Healing Arts Festival.
Right.
Which has been Alela's subtitle, which is Expressive and Healing Arts. And, I can't remember the exact moment, but I remember it was Dedink and I, it was the spring. We had gotten back from Hawaii with Tamale in March, and we just had this idea of doing this festival. And for some reason we called it Expressive and Healing Arts, and it just felt like the right thing to do. And within about a month we had 50 people. They came up north with us to have this most unbelievably magical experience. So that year it was same, it was improvised because we didn't know what else to do. And so, to some extent, too. But there were workshops,
too. You decided to
too.
Continue in that way, just from the way the first one transpired, opened up, the way it went?
Yeah, and then it was like it created this energy, and we were like, we're responsible for it. We had to, you know, ground it again. And we spent many years, you know, grounding it and regrounding it and kind of sitting back and thinking, well, what is it? And it took a while to get a good, solid sense of like, oh, this is what it is. Almost like, and we were talking about the other day, it's almost like, it's like an art project, you know, but it's in time and movement and space with a whole bunch of other people. And it takes
a while. All the arts were expressed at the Alela, art, actual art, painting, dancing, you name it. Almost every kind of art is represented, and interactive between them as well. I mean, people who were painting were also helping the dancers and so on. It just each time it was different and unique, but had that same energy, that same life to it. It was the interplay. It was just a
Well, and it really is bringing together expression and healing, and the sense that all of our expression is healing ourselves, to be whole, to be interconnected, to be, you know, aware of the other pieces. And so I think as an artist, and she's always felt that art is about spirit and is about healing. And so expressive and healing in the sense of Alela has been bringing those two realms together, which seem to have been separated for a long time. Art kind of took this corporate high class feel, and healing took this medical journey, and we were kind of bringing the two together to say that our expression is our healing, and it is our wholeness. And, you know, that's a lot of what the book is. It's about if we can create more energy and more importance in the simple things, then we don't have to have the complex things. And the lines between good and not good, life and death, become a lot less serious.
Yeah.
On so many levels.
Yeah, it sure does. Now, yeah. I think we're coming up to a break time.
Okay.
But before we go to the break, I just want all our listeners to know, if you'd like to get in touch with David, you can always go to his site. It's www.livinguniversity.com.
Right.
Or if you want to email David, you can email David at david@livingeducation.ca. His latest book is The Power of the Circle. And it's for sale now, I believe. You can get it at your local bookstore.
On the website.
Where can you pick up the book?
The website's the best place to order it.
Okay. So go to www.livinguniversity.com. And if our other host on the other end here is ready, we will go for a break and play a song for you, and it's called Dream Mountain. And as soon as they let me know that that's coming on, then we'll go to it. David, as soon as that break does come, we'll come back again, but you might as well continue until it does. And
sure.
I'm going to have Jara ask you a question or two, and we'll continue from there.
Okay, excellent.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
Hi, Jara. I'm excellent.
Oh, gosh. When you were talking about Alela, it reminded me of the evening where we did have the celebration, and one of the things you had on the stages was acting. And being in the state of mind that I was in at the time, I could not get up and improvise, and I sat back and I shook and I was upset with myself. And I'm telling you now, if I get the opportunity to come to Alayla again, I will be up there on stage just bringing out all the characters that are hidden deep inside me.
Yeah, of course.
And I really, really appreciate the work that you and Drink are doing. You recently had, you could probably do a little talk on here, is the Aboriginal group that you recently sponsored from Australia.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alayla has started to present different people from around the world who are bringing new and old or important and holistic energies and paths. The first person we presented was his name's SRM. He's a sun gazer from India. And he was just a beautiful man who told a very simple story about the power from the sun. The recent group we had was called Descendants, who is a native Aboriginal group from Australia, who just very heartfelt, kind-hearted, real people who don't do performance but do ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And the ceremony's not so sophisticated but very deep and very, they've played and practiced for many, many years. And one of the things they really reminded me of is just the vastness of Australia. We still on?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
We have
DJ coming back here. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
You know, I know you're a wilderness guy.
Yeah.
And you've had so much of your teaching from Mother Nature. I just want to tell you a bit about my first experience. Many years ago, there's this organization that took you up to Algonquin and you would go out on a 3-day wilderness canoe trip.
Right.
And I'd never, at that time, you know, been really up north in on the lakes in the wilderness, where there's no motorboats, no nothing. I mean, it's just you and your canoe and backpacking and taking your stuff with you and, in a sense, sort of survival. Well, there was again my very first trip. We'd gone up on a bus. It was pouring rain. It was just ceaseless rain. And we got up to this campsite. It only had an outhouse, as far as I remember. It was still pouring. There was about 30 of us, and 5 people decided to go back on the bus.
Hmm.
And I was almost one of them. But I decided, no, I came here, I'm going to do it. And I felt miserable. I was trying to put up this tent, and I'd never even put up a tent before. And it was just pouring all over me, and I was getting totally soaked and wet. And I thought, what am I doing here? So it was about, as we got towards the evening, and the fire was finally built, and I had a little glass of wine along with the food. They actually, because we hadn't gone out yet, so they actually had this little tankard of wine. Had a sip of wine, had something to eat, and I went, you know, this isn't so bad. Well, you know, that whole weekend, it did rain.
Wow.
It was cold. Something turned in me.
Hmm.
We were building fires, and I learned how to chip cedar into small little particles and birch bark and get a fire going, even though things were wet, and build it up and so on. And I went, this is okay. And eventually, I think by the third day, it let up a bit. We went to a fall somewhere, and everybody was thrilled to be there. And they got out on the falls, and everybody took their clothes off, I think, you know, and they were lying in the falls. And I remember sitting back and looking at it and thinking, this was the most beautiful picture, and I felt so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I was still wet, and I remember getting the next morning up, and I felt so cold, but I went ahead with everyone else and jumped in the lake, and I thought, this is living. Now, the reason I mention all of this is because this is something that you've been doing, I think, since you were a small child.
Yeah, since I was a month old, yeah.
You must have tons of stories yourself that... that was,
you know, many stories, and then I think even more important than any of the stories is the deep sense of the importance of the wild, which is... there's one named Edith Cobb who wrote a book called The Ecology of the Imagination in Childhood, who really talks about how important it is to get children out into the wilderness, because there's nothing else that's so separate from human reality and so vast. And it's that vastness which can be both on the outside in the wilderness, and we're lucky in Canada to have so much of it, but it's the same vastness that's on the inside that's so deep. And by having the experience of the one, you're reminded of the reality of the other. And then our own lives and our human experience both gets a, you know, not totally central to everything sense, and also a very gifted, you know, wow, that is what I've got, and that's so important. At least to me in this moment, even if it's not important to all of creation forever.
You know, one of the things that we did too, it was my experience, that was they eventually, a few years later, they built a double T, a place to actually put all the gear in and so on. And
there's
also
been,
Fauna. Hello?
Yeah.
And they built this beautiful sauna, and we would just go in there and get as hot as we could so we could hardly stand it any longer, and then run out of the sauna, down right down to the lake, and just jump into the lake immediately.
Yeah.
And of course, the lakes are very cold because it's like June, and they're deep lakes there, and oh, what a feeling. And I know it's not the same, but you not only work with sacred circles, but usually at the end of the Lele, you do what is called...
We do a sweat lodge.
Pardon me?
A sweat lodge.
A sweat, that's it.
Sweat, yeah.
I have never done a sweat myself, but I only mentioned the sauna thing because it made me feel like $1 million, if you could put the money to it, but it just felt wonderful. A sweat is quite a journey, and something that you also offer in groups. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I've done lots, hundreds of sweats, and a sweat is essentially a rebirth. And you create this little dome structure that represents the Turtle Island and the worm, and you heat rocks up in a fire outside, and the rocks actually kind of grapefruit and cantaloupe-sized rocks or so.
Right.
They give up their 100 million or more years of existence for this experience, because by the end of it, they're dust. Or they'll be dust soon. So you heat them up in the fire. And a sweat is really not just a sauna, but it's kind of a ceremonial process. So you go through the four different directions. You enter, usually the door is to the east. So you enter into the sauna, the sweat, the lodge, and you go to your left around it. And it's supposed to represent your going all through the four different directions of your life and your existence. And then you bring rocks in, four rounds of rocks, one for each of the directions. And while you sweat, you say prayers and you sing songs. And generally, it's pretty pitch black and tends to be pretty uncomfortable. and eventually gets, I think, in some, it's like being in the womb, where you have to, at some point, go out into the next world.
Dad, are you there?
And I think one of my most memorable sweats was this little tiny sweat we built up at a place called
this
Everdale.
This brings me back to all those times,
five
many
people,
lifetimes,
and the sweat
when
was much bigger than the five of us. We brought in rocks.
I have been abandoned
and
right here
we
publicly.
Put water on them to get
to
let the heat come out. And so in the third round, which is usually about the hottest one, I poured just like half a bucket
and I'm
of
now
water
competing
on these rocks.
With another
rocks
show.
Yeah.
And the rocks were hot, and the lodge was small, and the steam rose and then settled down on us so fast. And so we were roasted, like instantly roasted. And I said, "Oh, my takuyasin," which means all my relations, which means the round is over.
Don.
And everyone like ran for the door.
Don, you're screwing up our flow.
We get outside. We're lying around. It's November. It's cold. But we're
can
not
you hear me, Don?
And we're we're all absolutely speechless. And so
now, Don, this is our show. What are we doing with those guys on?
Go through the last round. So we kind of do this last round, which I barely put any water on, because I know everyone had got pretty fried. And what I realized afterwards, and after it, we went to get some food and talk, and one of the women and I had this unbelievably hilarious laughing fit that probably lasted half an hour. And what I realized is that the whole thing had been exactly a mimic of our birth, where you're in...
I hear you, but I hear this other guy there.
It's incredibly hot, and all of a sudden, you have to get out.
Yeah.
And you get out, and then you get out, and you're absolutely speechless. Like, you just don't have any words for the experience. You don't have any concepts for the experience. Which was what had happened to us in that sweat, more profoundly than in, I think, any other one that I ever did in. But it really just showed me the roots of a sweat, which is being a rebirth. You go through this
hello
process, you let go of the old things and you come into the world. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Is that you, Don?
Hi there.
Hey, Don.
Oh, this isn't Don. Are you our co-streamer?
I can hear you.
Yes, we can.
I am sorry to interrupt your show.
Is that better?
No.
You guys, it's not better. How's that? Is that better?
Can you hear me?
I can hear everybody.
Okay, are we all on the same line together?
I can understand you.
Okay, now you can hear me?
Yeah.
All right, well, everybody's hearing each other.
Who's calling, Don? Pick it up.
I hear you, but it's very quiet. You're very far away.
Am I very far away?
Yeah.
Well, we can up that, actually. Let's see. I'm far away. How's that?
That's better.
Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. And when? Talk to me. You're on another schedule. I'm just throwing you in here. Say something. Talk to me.
Hey, listen, I would like to make an announcement to our listening audience. Those of you that are interested in the conference call...
Can you hear Wynn, guys? Are you
Let me just say something. And then,
no, you can't hear Wynn? Sure you can. You can't hear Wynn?
Nope.
No, I don't hear
Wynn, you better start talking.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Can you hear me?
Testing.
Yeah.
Okay, how about now? Try it, Wynn.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
You got your mouse out there in the distance.
You guys can't hear him? Wynn, you got to talk louder, man.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
We were just talking about laughter, and David...
Hey, Don.
Yes. I got to get the Dr. Bell show on. I'll be right back.
He was talking about one in particular, which...
anyone else listening to me?
A total rebirth.
you know, we're supposed to call in the light, Don.
To get out and being free. And
that's not calling in the light.
To win.
All right.
Hello.
www.
If we can hear you,
higher-vision.org. Okay, more inference for information on the conference call. www.higher-vision.org. Okay,
hello.
That's it. We're off the air. God bless you all. We're not calling in the light tonight. We'll just do it quietly for a moment. Next week, we hope Don will have our act together so things run more smoothly. Thank you for listening, and over and out.
And sing songs and do chants and all kinds of things. My two kids were not as, let's say, chicken as I was. They both went for it. And I remember one evening in particular, because it was, I don't think there was any moon that night.
Okay, I think we got her.
And I was walking along the path to where the sweat was. I didn't have a flashlight. And so I was just making my way through the path. Mm-hmm. But the reason I could was because there were hundreds of fireflies throughout the path. At first I thought it was a starburst of some sort that I had never seen before, because the sky was amazing. But it wasn't. I began to realize it was fireflies. Now, fireflies usually fly low on the ground, and you can see them going boop, boop. But this was way up in the trees, way up all over the place, and it guided the path all the way through until we saw the firelight of the sweat. Again, when it came into full view, there was the lake, the sky, the stars. I mean, things like that just made me go, oh! So, you know, even that is a wonderful experience. That, and I invite everybody to come. I believe you're doing another Alela gathering.
It's going to be in August here at Parry Sound, Ontario.
In August.
On this beautiful river, family land. Which is actually where our wedding took place.
Oh.
12 years ago now. You still out there?
We're still here, and we're still listening.
Good, good. Yeah, it's this, the river called the Manitowabing River, which flows pretty much from the Algonquin Dome to Georgian Bay. And it's got the most beautiful set of waterfalls that I've ever seen.
It's 50 feet wide, I understand.
Pardon?
Is it 50? The waterfall itself is like 50 feet wide?
Probably 100 feet wide and 50 feet high.
Really?
It's just spectacular. And then on top of the waterfall, there's this great big flat rock where you can just wander around and lie in the little pools and go swimming up above it.
So we're invited to come up, aren't we?
Oh yeah. This time you're getting in.
I'm looking forward to that. And I would like to say to everyone, we'll probably be announcing when this comes up, when it does, in the near future, and letting everybody on the BBS network, radio network, whether it's daytime or nighttime, you know, what it's about, when it is, and so on, as we get closer to the date.
Sure.
So we'll be announcing that as well.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Does everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. There's Don again.
Hey, thank you. You know, it's been fun. This has been weird. You guys heard Wynn okay, right?
No, I never heard
we're doing okay.
No, did you hear Winfrey okay when I was trying to pipe in the other schedule?
No.
You didn't? Okay. Let's try that. We're going to have some fun since, you know, there's no one after you today, right? Is there?
No, the last.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah,
that makes
it.
Yeah.
No, actually, there is someone after us.
No.
Yep.
Oh, he's not starting. He's not starting yet.
It is Dr. Don Cullen.
Oh, yes, he is starting. So he would... Oh, so when's he going to be on at 7:30?
Yes.
Then we need to get on for an hour after him again, if you want to.
An hour after? Sure, we can do that.
Do you want to have some fun? And we'll just start rolling and have a real fun.
Oh, I heard a laughter. It sounded like wind.
No.
No, 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 it was me.
No, I was trying to get the other schedule, the sound in, and I couldn't seem to get it. I mean, I might be able to right now. Let's see.
And
do you hear it?
That's how it got me where I am now.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's really good.
Okay, I'll try.
Where are you located? You're up in L.A. there somewhere,
and see what we can do in between.
Yeah, well, we'll try this later after. But everything is working, I think, pretty good. Guys hearing any distortion? Are you having any problems with hearing each other? I just want to make sure that we don't ruin any more of your programs. I just hope we don't ruin any more of your programs, and I think this will be the final time we have to do any of this.
Actually, I got the volume full up, and I've got my ear pressed to the microphone, to the speaker, as it were, as well to hear, but
so it is difficult.
We're going with this.
Okay. we can turn him up.
Yeah.
In your ear, because it's a separate system. Okay. Try talking, David, a little bit. Now, tell me when you hear him good.
Okay. Dennis has been pretty quiet from what I can hear.
Is they hearing you yet? Keep trying to talk, David.
So the importance of the circle is because as a North American Western culture, we generally think in lines. And we'd like to think in digital reality rather than circular reality.
Can you hear him yet?
And once his native at this conference is at
I don't think they're...
decades ago, I think, or at least 15 years ago.
Do you hear, David? Dennis? Dennis?
Yes?
Do you hear him?
I can't hear Wynn, no.
David. Not Wynn, David, but you do hear David.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. Okay, that's what I was wondering. That's what I've been turning up and down, trying to figure out whether you could hear David or not.
Oh, yeah, the louder the better, and I think it's the same for him listening to me.
You know, where something is in comparison to something else.
Okay.
And that's the circle. That's the importance of the interconnectedness of things and respecting it, recognizing it.
hold on. David.
And if our culture is anything, it is able to recognize the importance of the feminine,
Hey, David, can you hear me okay?
I'm fine.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you good.
Because I'm just trying to check your levels, and I don't know whether you guys are hearing each other or not, and so I need to kind of test it just quickly.
Dennis?
David?
I hear you. I don't hear Dennis at all, though.
Okay, well, Dennis isn't talking.
Well, I'm listening to both of you.
Okay. I hear you, Dennis, but you're still pretty quiet.
Okay, Dennis is pretty quiet.
It's something still that we're working out. I just wanted to, as everyone is still listening, the book is Living Education, The Power of the Circle. The book is written by my guest here, David Aubrey Berger. And you can reach David. The best way to get in contact with David, if you're more interested in what his work and his teaching, is through www.livinguniversity.com. And I should mention, too, before I forget, that our sponsor for this show is energymedicine.isagenics.com.
Sure.
energymedicine.isagenics.com. And you'll see that up on the site on BBS Radio as well. If anyone is interested in the music as well, you can come to our site anytime you'd like to visit. It's beautiful. The colors will speak to you right to your heart. And you can always go to our site, dreampass.ca. And if you want to hear anything more on Authentic, the opening, the songs, you can go to cdbaby.com, www.dreampath.com/CD/DreamPath. And David, I appreciate you very much. David's up in the country there. What is it like right now? Is it snowing up there?
It was snowing kind of all evening, just kind of a light dusting, and there's about 2.5 feet of snow on the ground, and it's pretty cold, -5 or 10 or something like that. So it's still nice, beautiful winter weather with the, you know, the longer, sunnier days starting to come, which is really nice. And the lakes are all frozen.
Is it iced over right now?
Oh, yeah. It's been -20 or 30 up there.
Is anybody out there doing things on the lake,
or are they just left
alone during this time?
Can't see them right now, but they'll be out there.
Nobody out there?
Yeah. They will be, and they will be in the morning for sure.
Now, Elaine was telling me that because this is a closed lake, although it's very, very deep, it's closed, and that it actually has the indigenous trout to North America. And that they've often taken the trout from there to mix with other breeds in other lakes to increase that again, so that anyone who's fishing there would actually be in touch with trout that was actually at the beginning of time in North America.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely before the the breeding programs that came in and, you know, introduced all these different fish to all these different lakes. And because it's the Halliburton Highlands, which is pretty high up on the Canadian Shield. And the Canadian Shield is some of the oldest rock on the planet. It's in the order of 1 to 1.2 billion years, which is also the original mountain range from which the plains and then Rockies and Appalachians descended. And those two mountain ranges were just pushed up debris from the Canadian Shield. So the Canadian Shield is a pretty old and powerful piece of North America.
I certainly agree with you.
The Halliburton Highlands are one of the variety of higher places on the field. So Halls Lake being up here kind of gives it a certain age that is like unlike any other lake in North America. Anything in the Rockies are very new compared. And I've been to many places throughout Canada and always felt real longing to come back to this Canadian field and just the calmness and powerfulness of this area, and definitely has that.
Yeah, it does. And the Halliburton Highlands. Oh, we got the sirens in the background here.
Halliburton
Highlands
for many years.
And the whole region. As you probably know, Jarrah lived up in that area, in the Halliburton area,
right.
For a number of years, and I think it's very, very true for her that much of that communication, the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, the mental, all of those things played a factor. I mean, you have the life abounding around with deer and bear and wolverines and you name it. It lives there, and it's very much in harmony, and just being out there by a falls or by a lake and sitting on the rock is healing in itself. Just to be, and that's my experience every time I get a chance to get up there.
Hmm.
This is something that again, where it is an environment that you like to use as your teaching method to bring people to this environment so that they can feel this for themselves. You do a number of trips this way.
Yeah, well, you know, a big part of the transitions program, I kind of realized the transitions, the key point, as you mentioned in the back of the book, because I wanted to offer people an opportunity to get a sense of what these different ways of proceeding were. And in the simple form, it can be a 2 to 3 hour afternoon session. But in the longer form, it's really about a year process, which includes a Satluj, a vision quest, a meditation on water, and a meditation retreat. Because those inner ways of going in are things that take time. They're fairly simple. Like, even a vision quest is structurally very simple. And most, and many of the ancient spiritual practices are pretty simple in the sense that the amount of details you have to give someone in order to do one, you know, can take 2 minutes, like a meditation retreat is, okay, 10 days, don't talk to anyone, focus on your breath. That's it, you know, 10 days, go, eat some food.
It's simple, right?
It's that simple, but the complexity is on the inside, not on the outside.
Yes.
Whereas, like, a, you know, helicopter skiing trip is very complex on the outside, but not so sophisticated on the inside. And I think we as a culture have very much highlighted the complex on the outside realities and elevated them and put down or neglected or not talked about the complex on the inside realities, which are, in the long run, I think a lot more beneficial to the heart and the soul and the, you know, sense of self that comes from being in there.
I'd like to, we're getting fairly close, David. Thank you very much for being with us and being able to talk with us about what you do. I'm looking at, I just opened the book and here's the title, Initiation.
Hmm.
And I'll just read a bit from that. Learning is about moving from one place in your life to the next. You meet with a group of people, learn information, and explore it in relationship to yourself and to get to your next level. All too often, dimensions of who you are, who you could be, and what is possible for you are left out of the picture. Education is about becoming a part of society. It is about taking responsibility for the whole, as best as you are able. It requires you to shine your light, joy, and love where you are able. It's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's what education has done a good job of generally not doing in our society, is not making or encouraging people to be responsible for the whole thing. Because if people were truly responsible for the whole process or project of human society on this earth, they'd be doing very different things with what they've learned. And there are many people that have talked about education as much more of a training ground and a way to separate people from who they are. And if we as society, I think anyways, are going to move to our next stage in any healthy fashion, we're going to really get to a place where we can encourage people to think and perceive and appreciate on the inner levels more so than on the outer levels. Because we, so far as Westerners, really mastered the outer levels, but pretty much ignored the inner dimensions.
And I think, as a culture, as in the year 2007, and my experience is that more and more people are waking up to the power within.
Yeah.
They are. Sometimes they feel a little lonely because their friends or people that they are normally with don't necessarily respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for, you know, others who may relate to what's happening to them. And certainly, if they decide to join up in any of your workshops, your drumming circles, your drum making, because you do make drums, and I think that's, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that's how I first got in contact with you. I saw a little poster on a pole somewhere, and I went, oh, drum making, that looks... And actually, I think it was Jarrah who saw the number, and I gave you a call. And it went from there. And drum making is another wonderful way of experiencing...
Yeah, I've been teaching people to make drums for 15 years now, and drumming, and I do a lot of drumming circles these days, and it's just such an amazing way that people can easily and simply communicate with each other without using words, and being in the moment, and listening to one another, and it's a gift that I think many cultures have had and have brought forward, and us, I hope, as a culture, are at a place where we're going to start to grasp onto the simple ways in which we can be together and appreciate being together without drugs or alcohol or having to watch a band or someone else do something. So we can actually be with each other, because we're our greatest gifts to each other. But, you know, lots of people are just hidden behind TVs and movies and all kinds of other things. So that makes it so that they don't connect.
David, I thank you for connecting with us and connecting with our listeners. And once again, the book is The Power of the Circle, David Aubrey Berker, www.livinguniversity.com. Go to that site and you'll get more information.
Yeah.
And,
thank you so
David,
much.
David, have a wonderful weekend. Yeah. Say hi to Darinka and... of course, your children. I must say, for those who, anyone who's coming to Alela in the past has been able to bring their kids along. Everybody, all ages can come, and all ages usually are represented. It's wonderful. So thank you for being with us here on Dream Path.
My pleasure.
Thank you for sharing what you do with ourselves and our listeners. Much appreciated.
Talk soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And now, if it is still, we're going to be introducing a song. And if Don is still there, or if anybody is still there, it'll be very interesting listening to this on the archives later.
I am still here.
We are hoping.
I'm here still here. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
able
here.
To end this song. End this off with a little piece of music.
You got it.
I know.